Well, good morning. I'm very excited to be with you all this morning. And November is National Adoption Month. And worldwide, it's celebrated on the second Sunday, which is this month, it was the 13th. But it is celebrated all month long. And today I'm going to speak to you a little bit about Adoption Sunday, a little bit of speaking about foster care. And honestly, I'm going to share a little bit of a story, how some lives can get changed when you, one, become adopted into God's family, and two, when you adopt someone else into your family. And how many of y'all know that sometimes blood doesn't necessarily make you related, doesn't make you family, right? But blood can purchase you and bring you into a family, right? So my name is Bubba Dowling, and it is legally, literally Bubba. It's on my license and the IRS and everything. So it is not a nickname. It is real. I went and spoke at a Field of Faith event in McPherson, Kansas. Now, I learned how to say McPherson when I was there because I said McPherson, and they said there is no fear in McPherson. So I'm learning this stuff very, very quickly. But I spoke at this event in McPherson, and the gentleman who was announcing me said, Bubba's going to come up and speak, and he, with a name like Bubba, you can be a couple things. One, you can either be a truck driver, or you can be a strong man, right? And funny thing is I'm both. I have a CDL, I have my Class A, and I'm a professional strongman. So I don't know if he knew that or not, but it's just the way it kind of worked out. I was at the fifth grade camp at Webster Lake this summer. How many of y'all were there? Okay, very cool. All right. Because the strongman thing is real too. I break bricks and flip cars over and pull semis and bench press motorcycles. And then I talk about Jesus a lot. It was kind of cute when I first came in this morning. Some of the kiddos came out and said, "Are you going to break anything today?" And I was, "No, I'm sorry, I'm not. I'm just talking." I know it's very disappointing once you see the expectation or like what are some of the things that I can do, and then just to be talking, that's a little bit boring. But I think you guys will be okay. Hopefully, I don't let you down. All right. If you would, so all life that is created by a creator, and all life is valued. All life is created. All life is valued. Jeremiah 1:5, it tells us that before we were all formed in our mother's womb, he knew who we were. All created beings, all human beings, even in the womb created, were known by God. No life is a mistake. It may be even mine, right? And Miss Betty shared a few minutes ago about how we're all adopted into God's family, right? And in Ephesians 5, it talks about, and even I'll go up to 4, it says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption in sonship, daughtership, through Jesus Christ in accordance to his pleasure and will." But he wants us to choose him, right? And when we choose him, we then are adopted into his family. Well, I want to tell you a little bit of story about how God created beauty out of the ashes. And he can do that with a lot of things. And as I share this story, I want you to understand that I just want to share with you how real Jesus is. And when you fully commit your life totally unto him, how he can change the trajectory of your life. I'm basically going to share my story. I'm going to share a little bit of my wife and myself and our family and how God took a lot of the junk and a lot of the ashes that are in life and he created beauty out of it. Now, I'm not beautiful in a sense that whatever, but just the beautiful picture of what God can do. Does that make sense? I'm big, bald, and hairy, and I saw some of my other bald friends here, so that was kind of welcoming as well. But so I grew up in Ottumwa, Iowa. How many ever heard of that before? Oh, sweet. Wow. That's a pretty big number for, anyway. All right. I'm not going to ask you why you know that, but anyway, it's okay. So I would say small community, but it's very similar to Hayes. It's about 30,000 people. How big is Hayes? Okay, so it's similar. So grew up in Ottumwa, Iowa, and I'm going to briefly just kind of go over this, but didn't have a very good relationship with my dad. Dad was very abusive. I was a short, little, fat, kind of heavy kid, and honestly, I got made fun of a lot from the kids at school. Can kind of imagine the names and things that, are, that person that I was called. And then I would go home, and the person that was supposed to love me and talk to me and teach me how to be a man, protect me and care for me, is the one that tore me down the most. And it was my dad. And he would say things to me like, you're no good. You're so stupid. You're not going to amount to anything. You're so lazy. I mean, all this stuff continuously. And the Bible talks about how we can do two things with the words that we say. We have power in the tongue, right? And we can speak blessing or curse, life or death, right? And even now, and honestly, it even affects yourself too, because even the things that we say to ourselves affects who we are, right? So I had all this negativity, all this death, all this hurt spoken over me my entire growing up into elementary school, that in the eighth grade I attempted to take my own life because of those words that were spoken over me. I didn't want to live anymore. I mean, can you imagine all the hurt and the pain that I had inside that, I mean, I really wanted to end living. Remember, all life is created, all life is valued. But we have an opportunity as parents to speak life and encouragement to our kids, right, and blessing to them. And I had all this negative stuff spoken over me. And honestly, the entire time that this stuff was going on with me, my wife was dealing with her own things too. She grew up into a home that did not have a very good father role model as well. She was abused from her dad by the time she was 2 until she was 11. That summer that she was 11 and the abuse stopped, she had went to a Nazarene church camp and she had given her life to Jesus. And it stopped. But then she went home and told her mother that she gave her life to Jesus. And her mom said, you can't do all the things that you need to be as a Christian. You can't live up to that stuff. You can't do this. You can't do this. You can't do this anymore. So my wife said to herself, if I can't make it through this anyway, I'm just going to give up anyway. So she gave her life to Jesus, but she was put down right away about becoming a follower of Jesus, that she couldn't live up to the task. So she dropped it. Okay. And then so I'm going through middle school, attempted suicide. I started getting bigger, stronger. She went into the realm of, now I know what men expect of me. So that's what I'm going to utilize, and that's what they expect. So she went going into high school and living, trying to find love and life through relationships with men, and she couldn't find it. And I was struggling through high school and going through other things. And then, honestly, what happened for me was I started getting bigger and stronger and all those things, and I started playing sports, and I finally was getting some recognition. And I think we all in our lives want our daddy to say, I'm proud of you, right? We all want our daddy to say, I love you. I'm proud of you. For no other reason than us being their son or daughter. Not because of our performance, not because of what we can do, any of those things, but just because we're theirs. And neither one, my wife or I, had that spoken over us. We were searching for it, though. Me, through, you know, becoming, trying to see what I was as a man, right? And through my relationships, because I saw that as a man, with relationship with women, and then honestly, I please understand, like I said, I'm not glorifying my past. I'm going to show you where I came from, and I want to show you how real Jesus is, okay? Drugs, alcohol, relationships, all these things, I threw my life into all those things, and honestly, none of that stuff worked, right? And I was so hurt. My wife was so hurt. And honestly, we found out after a few years of even married that we ended up at the same places sometimes, like some of the dances, we were at the same places and doing the same things, trying to find who we were. So ends up in July of 1995, my wife and I, we first met. Now, it was not beautiful. It was not Once Upon a Dream. It was not Walt Disney, okay? We actually met in a bar. Again, I'm just painting a reality, okay? This is who we were. This is what happened. And I was a bouncer. And if you don't know what that is, praise the Lord. And if you do know, I'm sorry. and she was there as a customer, and we met. And like I said, it wasn't a beautiful beginning, but because we both did what we knew how to do. We were both trying to survive. And we used each other, just to be transparent, for whatever we thought we needed at the time. So, started dating in July of 1995. I stopped playing football. I was pretty good at that, too. I was bouncing, I was good at, but football I was better at. But it was the one time in my life that my dad told me he was proud of me. And that's why I poured my life into football. And I thought that was going to be my saving grace, because my dad said he was proud of me because I played football, because my name was in the paper, because all these things, and making All-State. And I can still see on the newspaper where he took that Sharpie and he circled my name and he said, I'm proud of you, Bubba. And see, the entire time that this stuff was going on in my life, not my wife's, but my life, we were going to church. He was a deacon. He was a member of the choir. He was a leader in the community. So how do you think that I viewed God through a relationship of my dad? Because honestly, what we do is we transfer how we see our earthly dad to our heavenly father. So I did not see God as a loving, caring, merciful God who loves me no matter what. I saw him as a vindictive, hateful, performance-based God. And I didn't want anything to do with it. I went to church the entire time I was growing up. And honestly, nobody ever really talked to me about Jesus. Now, I went to the sermons and I heard the things occasionally when I wasn't getting in trouble and doing those things. But nobody really talked to me about Jesus. So go to high school and all state, go to college and playing football, getting letters from all over the place. And what happened for me was I received a letter from my dad's alma mater, where he attended. And they offered an opportunity for me to go to school. I'm not saying it was right, but I'm saying it was the first time in my life that I felt that I had a little bit of power. I took that letter and I threw it away. I was so hurt. I was so much pain and so hurt that I tossed it. Now, I can be honest with you. I'm 40 years old now. I can look back and I can praise the Lord from where we are now, because I have no idea where I'd be. Honestly, and I'll be transparent. In high school, I said I'd probably have 6 kids. And I also said I'd probably have 6 kids with 6 different women. Now, I'm here to tell you that I do have 6 kids, but just with the one. Just with the one. So we met, and through the relationship, like 2 days before my wife got married, she rededicated her life back to Jesus. She had met a pastor, and this pastor was everything that she needed. She spoke life into my wife. She spoke encouragement. She actually hired her on at her home so that she could work there every day, so that my wife could just, she could just speak life into her all the time, and also pay her so that she could provide for her family, right? So my wife would say, I've been with this many men, and this pastor said, it doesn't matter. Jesus loves you anyway. I could cuss and make a sailor blush, my wife would say, and she said, that doesn't matter. Jesus loves you anyway. He died for you. And she kept saying this stuff over and over and over again to my wife. Until finally, my wife, like I said, two days before we got married, she gave her life to Jesus. Now me, I was I'm the middle kid. I'm the one, I break the rules that were set. I am the typical middle kid. So if you've ever heard a middle kid story or like that, that is me. Full on. Through this lady, I met her husband, and then I met this group of men. And this was in the late 90s when Promise Keepers was going really hot and heavy and all over the place. And I was so hungry for that male affirmation, right? For that man, that mentor, that man, that daddy figure in my life, that I hung out with these guys all the time. 5:30 in the mornings on Wednesdays and 6 a.m. on Sundays. And I was 21 years old, right? 20, 21, 22. Because I was so hungry for that love from a man, that male affirmation that you can do it, Bubba. You got what it takes. You can do this, right? So I would do that. And then for 3 years, they talked to me about being a husband and a father, being a man. But more importantly, they talked to me about Jesus and who he was and what he did for me. And after 3 years of hanging out with these guys, I gave my life to Jesus. That was January of 2000. Now, I will say this. 6 months after my wife and I got married, 1997, 6 months, she drugged me to foster parenting classes because she wanted to be a mama. That was her heart's desire as a young girl. I mean, she remembers when the teachers would ask her what she wanted to be, and she said, I want to be a mama. God designed it in her so long ago for her to be a mama, right? It was in her. It was in her being. She knew what she wanted to be. So she drugged me to foster parenting class. And I would say drugged me because I had no idea. I'm Twitter-pated at this moment. Freshly married. She's real pretty. Whatever you want, babe. You know, it's one of those things. And she drugged me. And so, you know, 6 months into our marriage, we're having foster kids. And we anywhere between the ages of 8 to 17. Mainly females, right? And a little bit of attitude and all that stuff that goes along with it. Now, it was amazing. Honestly, I look back and the timing was kind of interesting. But so God was setting us up. Let me just say it that way. God was setting us up. So 2.5 years into our marriage, I give my life to Jesus, January 2000. June of 2000, God changes our world. Because we end up with a little girl that we said we couldn't handle. Her name was Destiny. Destiny was cortically blind, which means her eyes work, but her brain doesn't recognize what she sees. The mother did so much drugs and alcohol that the brain did not fully develop. She has her frontal lobe and her brain stem. Destiny couldn't walk and she couldn't talk. She's fed through a tube in her stomach. Destiny had cleft palate and cleft lip. She had 4 heart surgeries by the time she was 1. Open heart surgeries by the time she was 1. My wife and I said we couldn't handle drug affected. We couldn't handle alcohol affected. We couldn't handle a severe disability and all these things. But what happened was my wife on Monday said, I want one that doesn't talk. Calls a social worker. I would like one that doesn't talk. Now, that doesn't work. So if you're becoming a foster parent or going through the classes, typically that does not work. You say what you want. It doesn't happen. Okay? But again, God had other ideas for us. So this little girl is in our home. Can't walk, can't talk, all these things. And we're sitting there staring at her. I was like, what do we do? What do we do? She was diagnosed with non-organic failure to thrive. She was dying. The tubes that they sent with her were so dirty and nasty. Every time we would feed her, she would either projectile vomit or the other direction. It was a very difficult time in our lives. So get her on Friday, have her all day Saturday, which is my birthday too, by the way, at that point. And then Sunday we go to church because we're freshly into all this stuff. So we go to church and we feed her at the church. And about 30 seconds after we leave the building, we're driving home and in a Honda Civic, believe it or not, 4 of us. If you ever seen the movie Incredibles and you see him in that car, that's what I look like in a Honda Civic. And it was a 5-speed. So every time, and I've got 17s, 4Es. So every time I hit the clutch, I hit the brake. So I'd have to drive with like the side of my foot and all that stuff. So it's big man problems. That if you don't know, you don't know. It's all good. But we turned the corner 30 seconds after leaving church, and all of a sudden, up from the middle was everything we just fed her. We stopped. She started aspirating. She was turning blue. Called the ambulance. The ambulance took her to the hospital. And my wife and I just looking at each other. It's like, what did we sign up? This is too much. We didn't sign up for this. But the thing that happened was is we just kind of prayed and looked into it and realized that this was what was given to us at the time. So what would we do? We went home and we ripped up all our carpet and we painted all the floors with porch paint because we were preparing for her to be around for a while. So that nothing else would get destroyed because we just ripped it all up because we had stain. The carpet was horrendous. What happened was is we continued to feed her on a regular schedule. All that stuff stopped. The vomiting and the diarrhea and all those things, it stopped. She started gaining weight. She started getting bigger and stronger, doing amazing. What happened, though, is like even in 1999, the doctors told me that I shouldn't lift over 50 pounds again. I have a 4-inch scar on my back where they removed some of my discs because I had a herniated disc, and they said they removed it. And they said, you're limited to 50 pounds. Now, I told you she was growing and getting bigger and getting stronger, right? And at that time, we had not had any of our own children yet. We'd been married for almost 4 years. We had lost 2 babies. I remember all my wife wanted to be was a mama. And having a limitation of lifting 50 pounds, I would not be able to carry Destiny for very long because we all grow up to be bigger than 50 pounds, most of us. I'm a good example of that, of being over 50 pounds, right? But having a limitation of that, I would not be able to be the best caregiver that I could be for her, right? So what happened was, is I went back to the gym and started lifting weights, rehabbing my back, and some guys noticed that I was getting stronger. And in the meantime, we're having all this mediation and talks about how it was in Destiny's best interest that if the foster parents would adopt. And the mother, the bio mom, who's actually from my wife's hometown of 300, so it's a little town of 300, my wife, the bio mom is from my wife's town of 300, and she looked at my wife, and she said, if you guys would be willing to adopt her, I'll sign my rights over to you. And she says, I know this because of this reason. Because Heather is my wife's name. I expected you to love her. But I had no idea that another man who was not her dad could love her too. That gave her peace in knowing that we were the right parents for that little girl. Now, I would not have known how to be a good dad, be a good father, be a good husband, and those things if I didn't have those guys speak and mentor into me and them adopting me into their little brotherhood and family too. One of the biggest gentlemen, his name is Mark. Mark Cobbler. We talk about German. He's a German farmer from Southeast Iowa. I have big hands, right? He's shorter than I am, stocky. His hands are like twice as thick as mine. I call them the legends. Only person on the planet that can rub, I'm like a strong man, so muscles are dense, and he can rub my muscles in there. Actually, it hurts, right? But Mark saw so much value in me as a man that he spoke life into me, encouragement into me. You can do this, Bubba. You got what it takes. He poured his life out into me so that I could eventually pour my life out into others. Because we all try to leave our mark on this planet. You know what I mean? We want our legacy to be known, to be remembered, right? I had that desire too. So does Mark. Mark, I'll say it this way. I have forgiven my dad. There's been forgiveness. He has made a choice not to be in our lives. I can't force him to. Now, we'll say this. Forgiveness does not mean you have to go back and re-enter into a toxic relationship. I haven't read that in here. I haven't seen it in here. Forgiveness doesn't mean you have to go back. Forgiveness means that you release them and you're released too. It's freedom. It's very cool. So I've released my dad, and my wife has released her dad. But they have made a choice not to be in a relationship with us. So what happened was is the mother did sign over her rights to us, and we adopted her in May of 2002. But prior to that, during the adoption process, we found out that we were pregnant with my oldest son, Nathan. So we went from a family of two to four within 9 months. One adoption and one biological. Destiny's name is now Anna Noel. She'll be 19 in March. It's because of her that and Mark. I had these two people in my life that encouraged my wife and I both. Honestly, Anna loved us no matter what. First person, really human, that loved us unconditionally was Anna. People told us that we were so good to adopt her. She's so lucky to have you. We were so lucky to be able to adopt her because she brought us so much joy. If there is anybody on this planet that deserves to be a little bit bitter, it's her. She got the short end of the stick. But she brings so much joy. She is so happy. She is so joyous that she spreads her love around. And she can make a whole room laugh. She was in the hospital, very bad sickness. We were in the waiting room, and she got one of her tickle fests, man. She tickles herself. She'll put her arm up like this and just tickle herself. And she just cracks up laughing. When we got in there, everybody in that emergency room was angry, mad, sick. By the time that we got to our room, everybody was cracking up laughing, Kleenexes because they're laughing so hard. She brings joy everywhere she goes. When we adopted her, that's when everything changed for us. It is adoption month, right? I'm talking about when we allowed ourselves to be open for that adoption, God completely changed our lives. One, I went back to the gym, started competing in a sport called powerlifting, ended up becoming a strong man, ending up becoming one of the strongest men on the planet. Why? Because I wanted to be the best dad that I could be for that little girl. I had no intentions of becoming a strong man. I had no intentions of competing in these sports. But because an opportunity arose that God brought to us through an adoption through foster care, we took it. I've been to over to 8 countries. I've spoken in front of 50,000 people in Cairo, Egypt. I've been on Arabic television sharing my story about how Jesus changed my life to over 1 million Arabic viewers. Just a dude from Southeast Iowa that was disabled, God healed his back, rehabilitated his back, became an adoptive dad, and God completely changed our lives through an adoption through foster care. Now, my wife and I have been married for 19 years this October. Remember, we went in a bar, right? This shouldn't have lasted. We have 5 biological children on top of our adoption. We have 6 kiddos. 19, 14, 11, 9, 7, and 3. I read somewhere something about being fruitful and multiplying, so we decided to go ahead and do that. But the legacy doesn't end there. The story just doesn't stop, right? We allowed ourselves to be open. to becoming a foster. Well, I say I wasn't open in the beginning. And what's funny is my wife, she doesn't not care about foster kids, but that's not her heart anymore, right? She did that to fulfill that need that she wanted. And what happened was is I went back to school and got my Bachelor of Arts in Human Services and Psychology. I started working with adjudicated delinquent youth. I became an advocate for foster care. It's like that's what I do for a living. I talk about foster care and adoption all over the place, and I'm the one that didn't want to do it in the beginning. But I'm slow of speech, Lord, right? I can't do this. This is not me. But he turned it all around, right? So through an adoption through foster care, my wife and I have seen tens of thousands of people give their lives over to Jesus Christ from traveling all over the planet, doing the strongman stuff and just preaching. My wife speaks on motherhood. She also speaks to prostitutes and those who have been hurt through the sex trafficking. I speak to fathers, men, young boys, about what it looks like to be a man, to be a father, a real man. Not this stuff you see on TV, but I'm talking about a real man with honor and integrity and how you treat a woman. All through an adoption through foster care. God utilized that to change our lives. Right now, there are 6,700 youth in the foster care system in Kansas. There are 2,700 foster homes. Now, some of those foster homes do have 2 and 3 bedrooms in them, so that gap isn't that large. But I will say this. There's a 4,000 bed home gap, right? If you just look at those two numbers. But there are 4,615 churches in Kansas. If each church, each one would take one, if each church would have one, at least one foster home come out of it, there'll be homes waiting for children as opposed to children waiting for homes, right? So I'm asking you just to consider in your heart, I know there are some who are already going through the foster care stuff here in town, right? You're already going through it. And great, praise God, continue, push through. Maybe you're not called to be a foster parent, but you could, when we each all can't do everything, but we can all do something. Maybe you can support the biological family who has their children removed. And you support and you love on them and you care on them. Like, that's something that we didn't have, right? But can you imagine if you would support and walk through helping a biological family get their children back? And how much that they would see Jesus through you by just walking through them with that, you know, discipling them, walking through that with them. Or supporting that foster family who are getting those new kids in, who may not have all the things that they need to best suit what they need to provide for those children. So yes, I'm talking about adoption, I'm talking about foster care, and I shared my story about how God changed our lives through that. Because we are open and we are willing to say yes. Now, like I said, maybe you're not called to be a foster parent, but you could do something. You could love on, you could send a meal, you could do something. You know what I'm saying? We all can't do everything. We can all do something. And I just appreciate your heart. So, but overall, I just want you to understand that when you give up you and you open your hands and say, God, use me however you want to use me, he can do some crazy and amazing things. Now, we have done a lot of, we've been a lot of places, done a lot of things, all because we're willing to say yes. All he wants to hear from you is your yes. Yes, Lord, whatever you have for me. And maybe you don't know what that is today, but I'd like to pray for you real quick, and maybe God will reveal that to you. I have no idea, right?
You've been listening to a message presented at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.